Well, we're back in the construction zone with Chip and Eric and friends. I bet that noise is really, really pleasant.
And I mean the horrible noise in the background, not my awful nasally voice. There it is. There it is.
Wow.
I bet this is unlistenable to listen to.
Check it.
I actually can't. I can't even think with that happening. The only other option we have is to go into Chip's office. Wow, that was loud.
Will that still be loud, though?
No, because they're right below us.
Oh, well, maybe that's what we got to do, because it's not going to stop, probably.
Okay, off to Chip's office, and I'm not stopping the recording. Boy, that's bad. How
take
terrible.
Our papers, take it.
Okay, we're going. Wow. Allison, I'm going to be honest with you, that's very loud.
Well, I'm glad you're being honest with me, because...
I also like that that sound wasn't happening when we initially started.
Not until we started. That's, Oh, it smells lovely in here.
I hope Chip doesn't mind us being in his office. I mean, I don't mind us being in his office. In we go. You get the captain's chair.
Oh, I do? It's yep. So clean in here.
Yeah, this was never what my office looked like here. All right, welcome back, everybody, to Chip and Eric and Friends, calling audibles through the Bible. Today... we've moved because of construction, and we're already 2 minutes in, so it's time to get reading. I don't know what we're reading, though.
Well,
so
speaking
Allison,
of construction, today is 1:21, and we're going to read 1 Kings 1 and 2 and Mark 15, 1 through 47.
Okay. 1 Kings chapter 1. David in his old age. David was now very old, and no matter how many blankets covered him, he couldn't keep warm. So his advisors told him, Let us find a young virgin to wait on you and look after you, my lord. She will lie in your arms and keep you warm. So they searched throughout the land of Israel for a beautiful girl, and they found Abishag from Shunem and brought her to the king. The girl was very beautiful, and she looked after the king and took care of him. But the king had no sexual relations with her.
Adonijah claims the throne. About that time, David's son Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith, began boasting, I will make myself king. So he provided himself with chariots and charioteers and recruited 50 men to run in front of him. Now his father, King David, had never disciplined him at any time, even by asking, why are you doing that? Adonijah had been born next after Absalom, and he was very handsome. Adonijah took Joab, son of Zeruiah, and Abiathar, the priest, to his confidence, and they agreed to help him become king. But Zadok the priest, Benai's son, Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and David's personal bodyguard refused to support Adonijah. Adonijah went to the stone of Zoheleth near the spring of Enrogel, where he sacrificed sheep, cattle, and fattened calves. He invited all his brothers and the other sons of King David and all the royal officials of Judah, but he did not invite Nathan the prophet or Benai, or the king's bodyguard, or his brother Solomon. Then Nathan went to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, and asked her, haven't you heard that Haggith's son, Adonijah, has made himself king, and our lord David doesn't even know about it? If you want to save your own life and the life of your son Solomon, follow my advice. Go at once to King David and say to him, my lord the king, didn't you make a vow to say to me, your son Solomon will surely be the next king and will sit on my throne? Why then has Adonijah become king? And while you are still talking with him, I will come and confirm everything you have said. So Bathsheba went to the king's bedroom. He was very old now, and Abishag was taking care of him. Bathsheba bowed down before the king. What can I do for you? He asked her. She replied, my lord, you made a vow before the Lord your God when you said to me, your son Solomon will surely be the next king and will sit on my throne. But instead, Adonijah has made himself king, and my lord the king does not even know about it. He has sacrificed many cattle, fattened calves, and sheep, and has invited all the king's sons to attend the celebration. He also invited Abiathar the priest and Joab, the commander of the army. But he did not invite your servant Solomon. And now, my lord the king, all Israel is waiting for you to announce who will become king after you. If you do not act, my son Solomon and I will be treated as criminals as soon as my lord the king has died. While she was still speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet arrived. The king's officials told him, "Nathan the prophet is here to see you." Nathan went in and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. Nathan asked, "My lord the king, have you decided that Adonijah will be the next king and that he will sit on your throne? Today he has sacrificed many cattle, fattened calves, and sheep, and has invited all the king's sons to attend the celebration. He also invited the commanders of the army of Abiathar the priest. They are feasting and drinking with him and shouting, 'Long live King Adonijah!' But he did not invite me or Zadok the priest or or your servant Solomon. Has my lord the king really done this without letting any of his officials know who should be the next king?"
David makes Solomon king. King David responded, "Call Bathsheba." So she came back in and stood before the king, and the king repeated his vow. "As surely as the Lord lives, who has rescued me from every danger, your son Solomon will be the next king and will sit on my throne this very day, just as I vowed to you before the Lord, the God of Israel." Then Bathsheba bowed down with her face to the ground before the king and exclaimed, "May the Lord King David live forever." Then King David ordered, "Call Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, son of Jehoiada." When they came to the king's presence, the king said to them, "Take Solomon and my officials down to Gihon Spring. Solomon is to ride my own mule. There Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet are to anoint him king over Israel. Blow the ram's horn and shout, 'Long live King Solomon!' Then escort him back here, and he will sit on my throne. He will succeed me as king, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah." "Amen," Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, replied. "May the Lord, the God of my lord the king, decree that it happen. And may the Lord be with Solomon as he has been with you, my lord the king, and may he make Solomon's reign even greater than yours." So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah son of Jehoiada, and the king's bodyguard, took Solomon down to Gihon Spring, with Solomon riding on David's own mule. There Zadok the priest took the flask of olive oil from the sacred tent and anointed Solomon with the oil. Then they sounded the ram's horn, and all the people shouted, "Long live King Solomon!" And all the people followed Solomon into Jerusalem, playing flutes and shouting for joy. The celebration was so joyous and noisy that the earth shook with the sound. Adonijah and his guests heard the celebrating and shouting just as they were finishing their banquet. When Joab heard the sound of the ram's horn, he asked, "What's going on? Why is the city in such an uproar?" And while he was still speaking, Jonathan, son of Abiathar the priest, arrived. "Come in," Adonijah told him, "for you are a good man. You must have good news." "Not at all," Jonathan replied. "Our lord, King David, has just declared Solomon king. The king sent him down to Gihon Spring with Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah son of Jehoiada, protected by the king's bodyguard. They had him ride on the king's own mule, and Zadok and Nathan have anointed him at Gihon Spring as the new king. They have just returned, and the whole city is celebrating and rejoicing. That's what all the noise is about. What's more, Solomon is now sitting on the royal throne as king, and all the royal officials have gone to King David and congratulated him, saying, 'May your God make Solomon's fame even greater than your own, and may Solomon's reign be even greater than yours.' Then the king bowed his head in worship as he laid on his bed, and he said, 'Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who today has chosen a successor to sit on my throne while I am still alive to see it.' Then all of Adonijah's guests jumped up in a panic from the banquet table and quickly scattered. Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, so he rushed to the sacred tent and grabbed onto the horns of the altar. Word soon reached Solomon that Adonijah had seized the horns of the altar in fear and that he was pleading, "Let King Solomon swear today that he will not kill me." Solomon replied, "If he proves himself to be loyal, not a hair on his head will be touched. But if he makes trouble, he will die." So King Solomon summoned Adonijah, and they brought him down from the altar. He came and bowed respectfully before King Solomon, who dismissed him, saying, "Go on home."
1 Kings chapter 2, David's final instructions to Solomon. As the time of King David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. "I am going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses so that you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go. If you do this, then the Lord will keep the promise he made to me. He told me, 'If your descendants live as they should and follow me faithfully with all their heart and soul, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel.' And there is something else. You know what Joab, son of Zeruiah, did to me when he murdered my two army commanders, Abner, son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether. He pretended that it was an act of war, but it was done in a time of peace, staining his belt and sandals with innocent blood. Do with him what you think best, but don't let him grow old and go to his grave in peace. Be kind to the sons of Barzillai of Gilead. Make them permanent guests at your table, for they took care of me when I fled from your brother Absalom. And remember Shimei, son of Gera, the man from Bahurim in Benjamin. He cursed me with a terrible curse as I was fleeing to Mahanaim. When he came down to meet me at the Jordan River, I swore by the Lord that I would not kill him. But that oath does not make him innocent. You are a wise man, and you will know how to arrange a bloody death for him. Then David died and was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. David had reigned over Israel for 40 years, 7 of them in Hebron and 33 in Jerusalem. Solomon became king and sat on the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was firmly established.
Solomon establishes his rule. One day, Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith, came to see Bathsheba, Solomon's mother. "Have you come with peaceful intentions?" she asked him. "Yes," he said, "I come in peace. In fact, I have a favor to ask of you." "What is it?" she asked. He replied, "As you know, the kingdom was rightfully mine. All Israel wanted me to be the next king. But the tables were turned, and the kingdom went to my brother instead, for that is the way the Lord wanted it. So now I have just one favor to ask of you. Please don't turn me down." "What is it?" she asked. He replied, "Speak to King Solomon on my behalf, for I know he will do anything you request. Ask him to let me marry Abishag, the girl from Shunem." "All right," Bathsheba replied, "I will speak to the king for you." So Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak on Adonijah's behalf. The king rose from his throne to meet her, and he bowed down before her. When he sat down on his throne again, the king ordered that a throne be brought for his mother, and she sat at his right hand. "I have one small request to make of you," she said. "I hope you won't turn me down." "What is it, my mother?" he asked. "You know I won't refuse you." "Then let your brother Adonijah marry Abishag, the girl from Shunem," she replied. "How can you possibly ask me to give Abishag to Adonijah?" King Solomon demanded. "You might as well ask me to give him the kingdom. You know that he's my older brother and that he has Abiathar the priest and Joab son of Zeruiah on his side." Then King Solomon made a vow before the Lord, "May God strike me and even kill me if Adonijah has not sealed his fate with this request. The Lord has confirmed me and placed me on the throne of my father David. He has established my dynasty as he promised. So as surely as the Lord lives, Adonijah will die this very day." So King Solomon ordered Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, to execute him, and Adonijah was put to death. Then the king said to Abiathar the priest, "Go back to your home in Anathoth. You deserve to die, but I will not kill you now, because you carried the ark of the sovereign Lord for David my father, and you shared all his hardships." So Solomon deposed Abiathar from his position as priest of the Lord, thereby fulfilling the prophecy the Lord had given at Shiloh concerning the descendants of Eli. Joab had not joined Absalom's earlier rebellion, but he had joined Adonijah's rebellion. So when Joab heard about Adonijah's death, he ran to the sacred tent of the Lord and grabbed onto the horns of the altar. When this was reported to King Solomon, he sent Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, to execute him. Benaiah went out to the sacred tent of the Lord and said to Joab, "The king orders you to come out." But Joab answered, "No, I will die here." So Benaiah returned to the king and told him what Joab had said. "Do as he said," the king replied. "Kill him there beside the altar and bury him. This will remove the guilt of Joab's senseless murders from me and from my father's family. The Lord will repay him for the murders of 2 men who were more righteous and better than he. For my father knew nothing about the deaths of Abner, son of Ner, commander of the army of Israel, and of Amasa, son of Jether, commander of the army of Judah. May their blood be on Joab and his descendants forever, and may the Lord grant peace forever to David, his descendants, his dynasty, and his throne." So Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, returned to the sacred tent and killed Joab, and he was buried at his home in the wilderness. Then the king appointed Benaiah to command the army in place of Joab, and he installed Zadok the priest to take the place of Abiathar. The king then sent for Shimei and told him, "Build a house here in Jerusalem and live there, but don't step outside the city or go anywhere else. On the day you so much as cross the Kidron Valley, you will surely die, and your blood will be on your own head." Shimei replied, "Your sentence is fair. I will do whatever my lord the king commands." So Shimei lived in Jerusalem for a long time. But 3 years later, 2 of Shimei's slaves ran away to King Achish, son of Maacah of Gath. When Shimei learned where they were, he saddled his donkey and went to Gath to search for them. When he found them, he brought them back to Jerusalem. Solomon heard that Shimei had left Jerusalem and had gone to Gath and returned. So the king sent for Shimei and demanded, "Didn't I make you swear by the Lord and warn you not to go anywhere else, or you would surely die?" And you replied, "The sentence is fair. I will do as you say." "Then why haven't you kept your oath to the Lord and obeyed my command?" The king also said to Shimei, "You may certainly remember all the wicked things you did to my father David. May the Lord now bring that evil on your own head. But may I, King Solomon, receive the Lord's blessings, and may one of David's descendants always sit on this throne in the presence of the Lord. Then, at the king's command, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, took Shimei outside and killed him. So the kingdom was now firmly in Solomon's grasp. How's that? Okay, so there was a bit of a mix-up with Mark. We're going to jump forward to Mark. There was a bit of a mix-up, so we are going to read today Mark 15, 1 through 47.
Yes. Mark 15, Jesus' trial before Pilate. Very early in the morning, the leading priests of the elders and the teachers of religious law, the entire high council, met to discuss their next step. They bound Jesus, led him away, and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said it." Then the leading priests kept accusing him of many crimes, and Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer them? What about all these charges they are bringing against you?" But Jesus said nothing, much to Pilate's surprise. Now it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner, anyone the people requested. Well, one of the prisoners at the time was Barabbas, a revolutionary who had committed murder in an uprising. The crowd went to Pilate and asked him to release a prisoner as usual. "Would you like me to release to you the king of the Jews?" "This king of the Jews?" Pilate asked, for he realized by now that the leading priests had arrested Jesus out of envy. But at this point, the leading priests stirred up the crowd and demanded the release of Barabbas instead of Jesus. Pilate asked them, "Then what should I do with this man you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." "Why?" Pilate demanded. "What crime has he committed?" But the mob roared even louder, "Crucify him." So to pacify the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified.
The soldiers mocked Jesus. The soldiers took Jesus into the courtyard of the governor's headquarters, called the Praetorium, and called out the entire regiment. They dressed him in a purple robe, and they wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. Then they saluted him and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him on the head with a reed stick and spit on him and dropped to their knees in mock worship. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified.
The crucifixion. A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming from the countryside just then, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus, and they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They offered him wine drugged with myrrh, but he refused it. Then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw dice to decide who would get each piece. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. A sign announced the charge against him. It read, "The King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Ha, look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, save yourself and come down from the cross." The leading priests and the teachers of religious law also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself." They let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from the cross so we can see it and believe him. Even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him.
The death of Jesus. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. "Wait," he said, "let's see whether Elijah comes to take him down." Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last. The curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed, "This man truly was the Son of God." Some women were there, watching from a distance, including Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Younger and of Joseph, and Salome. They had been followers of Jesus and had cared for him while he was in Galilee. Many other women who had come with him to Jerusalem were also there.
The burial of Jesus. This all happened on Friday, the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath. As evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea took a risk and went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Joseph was an honored member of the high council, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Pilate couldn't believe that Jesus was already dead, so he called for the Roman officer and asked if he had died yet. The officer confirmed that Jesus was dead, so Pilate told Joseph he could have the body. Joseph bought a long sheet of linen cloth. Then he took Jesus' body down from the cross and wrapped it in the cloth and laid it in the tomb that had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone in front of the entrance. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where Jesus' body was laid.
And that is our reading today. That is our reading today. We read it, despite the noise.
Wasn't too bad.
No, not in here.
No.
Two questions in mind here. How does this help us love God more? How does this help us love others more? So, Allison, how does this help you love
God more?
Yeah.
So, trying to put the two together, the two readings together. When we started reading about David, I was so struck by, because, you know, we think of David so much as the man after God's own heart, you know. And then when you read David's story, you're so reminded of his shortcomings. The fact that he didn't discipline his children, for one.
Yeah.
And we see that over and over with, you know, what happened with Tamar and his Absalom coming up and trying to take over. And it was a mess. Mm-hmm. And now we have, what was his name?
Adonijah.
Thank you. Wanting to be king. And it says he didn't discipline him and he didn't tell.
You didn't ask him, why are you doing that?
Yeah. Why are you doing that? And so I was thinking about that and how David, like, and also when he's dying and he's telling Solomon what to do, and it's like some of that stuff you could have dealt with. Like, why didn't he deal with Joab? You know? Why is he passing that on? Oh, and deal with Shimei, whatever, and deal with Joab and whatever. So, you know, it just started to make me think about like how we just fall so short. Even King David falls short. And then I fast forward to this about Jesus, and I this has never stuck out to me before until today, but when it said even the other two men on the cross mocked Jesus and ridiculed him. I've never been in pain like they were in being crucified, but I think of the worst pain that I've ever been in. And one of the main things I can remember, which is childbirth, and one of the main things I can remember is I just wanted everybody to stop talking, including me. Like, I didn't want to talk. I didn't want anybody around me to talk, mm-hmm. right? Because you're just trying to, like, find a place to where you can deal with the pain that you're in, right?
Yeah.
So I can't... How much did they hate him to even think, I want to waste my breath at this point? Especially when you've read what physically happens to the body when it's being crucified. Because you can't get your breath,
right?
So you're trying to push yourself up even to get a good breath. Mm-hmm. So imagine why did they feel the need to even waste breath?
Yeah.
They genuinely, like, I guess what I'm saying is this just shows how terrible this must have been for Jesus. How much hate did he feel mm-hmm. that these people who were in such tremendous amounts of pain are still find it necessary to muster up the energy to insult him?
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. this is terrible. So I guess it just helps me love God more to remember our sin is big, and he paid a really big price because of it, you know? That's terrible. It's terrible to think about. But even King David fell so far short of the glory of God, mm-hmm. you know? So it just makes me love God more.
Yeah.
That he went through that and where, you know, two men who I could tell you, if I was on a cross, I would not want to talk. I would not care enough to heap insults on someone beside me.
Yeah.
So the hatred must have just been really thick.
Yeah.
Time, you know?
Yeah.
And for what? Why?
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, it's crazy.
Because the God's wrath.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm.
I like that there's coronation of two different kings. Solomon's coronation is this big celebration, and Jesus' coronation is this like horrendous mocking, crown of thorns, beating, you know, insult. Okay, how does this help me love others more, right? Others.
Mm-hmm.
I think Solomon is very fair with everybody. Adonijah, you tried to usurp the throne that you knew was mine. He knew. Otherwise, he would have invited Solomon and Bathsheba to the whole deal, right? But he didn't.
He said later, God wanted this.
Yeah, yeah.
You knew that then, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. And also, that was like, the kingdom was rightfully mine. All Israel wanted me to be king, but God wanted this. Nah, man.
Anyway, so Solomon is extremely fair. Adonijah, by trying to get Abishag, essentially you could make the argument that Abishag became a wife to David even though they didn't have any sex. So, like, he would basically be entering the, like, royal court by marrying her, right? So that's a big deal. Solomon recognizes it. Bathsheba doesn't, because Bathsheba's never been really part of the royal court in any real sense. And so Solomon is fair with him and then has him killed. And, you know, same with Shimei. You know, he is fair with him. He tries to spare his life. You know, he tries to spare his life. And not so much. Doesn't happen, you know. And but it, not by Solomon's doing. Both of those men had their lives spared. And I just love that Solomon leads with mercy on that. And, you know, we all know Solomon. If of all the things we know about Solomon, if you summed him up in one word, you always sum up the story of Solomon in the word wisdom. So maybe there's a lot of wisdom in leading with grace when it comes to those things and giving people those chances. And yeah, both of them ended up dead. Both of them blew it. But that's not on Solomon. That's on them. Mm-hmm. So I can love others better by leading with grace.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yes.
So. All right.
And if you ever get cold, you know what to do.
Yeah, go kidnap a kid to sleep in your bed with
Yes,
you.
Because that...
It's crazy.
That's so weird.
Hey, culture's weird.
It is so weird.
Culture's weird, but yeah, Abishag, good work.
Good job.
Good job, Abishag.
You have a king warm.
But all these really beautiful names.
Abishag.
Abishag and Haggith.
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 Well, I hope you enjoyed it. We hope you enjoyed our theme day of construction noises.
Yep. It's construction noise day. Construction yes, we noise. Can.